You're very welcome back. It is Alison Curtis. It is Weekend Breakfast on Today FM. Now, like me, I'm sure most of you listening this morning do waste time overthinking things, but there's something we can do about it. We can read a book called Calm the F Down. And Sarah Knight, the woman behind it, joins me in studio. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming in. Now, just a bit about your background first before we jump into the book, because I like to, you know, give people the full picture, because the book is an advice book in many respects. It is.
Yes, well, I was a book editor actually myself in New York City for 15 years, and right. So I worked in the publishing business, and I quit my corporate job to pursue a freelance life, and that's when I had the idea for my first book, The Life-Changing Magic of Not Giving an F, which
yes.
other people may have heard of, and now I'm on book four, and so I've really built this little brand of the No F's Given guides, and they all address different aspects of mental health and happiness and things like that.
So this one is Calm the F Down, and I think it's a perfect time to be talking to you because January is a time when I think people do a lot of overthinking, and I think we start off the month kind of going, this is a new year. And then I think towards the end, we start, at least certainly I do, I start to get a little bit stressed by, even if you set yourself goals, you kind of go, well, I haven't made these goals yet. And yet you're like, it's only 3 weeks into the year. But tell us about, I suppose the one thing is the one question to rule them all. And that might be a good thing for people to get into their heads.
Yes, this is the central tenet of the book. I call it the one question to rule them all, and that is, can I control it? And it really helped me, someone who is a control freak, who is very type A, who wants to have a lot of balls in the air at any given time, and who worries a lot, mm-hmm. to say, wait a minute, take a step back. Is this thing that I'm worrying about, that I'm freaking out about, something I can control? And if it isn't, I have to let it go. And the book really explains how to do that.
Okay. Because that is something that a lot of people kind of throw around, control freak and all that kind of stuff. But it is actually an actual personality trait. I would have it too.
Yeah, and I didn't feel like I was going to be able to fundamentally change who I am. And all of my books are about changing the way you deal with situations as opposed to trying to change who you are. And I think that's probably one of the things that differentiates them from the pack, also the swearing.
Is there a lot of swearing? There's a lot of swearing.
There's a lot of swearing.
There's a lot of swearing. The four faces of freaking out. Explain that to people.
So these are anxiety, sadness, anger, and avoidance. And they're the four overarching categories of ways that we freak out. And I use that expression in the book just to indicate, you know, ways in which you deal poorly with whatever situation is at hand. I happen to be mainly on the anxiety scale with a touch of avoidance. You know, I know other people for whom anger is the go-to response, and other people who just get really sad. And I think that each of those faces of freaking out can be worn by different people at the same time, the same people at different times, the same people at the same times. And so the book really addresses each one of them, techniques for countering them. And if you happen to be suffering from more than one at a time, how you can also kind of hack away at that and turn yourself around.
And Sarah, do we think at this stage in life, and we talk, thankfully in Ireland, a lot more about mental health than we did when I moved here 20 years ago, but do we... Is it unavoidable? Is everyone has something at some stage? Is that just modern life?
Yeah, I think it is modern life. I think we're all so much more connected to the news. As you said, in the last couple of years, it's been getting worse and worse. But we also know more and more about it every minute of every day because we're so connected to one another. And I also think from what I've observed that we are battering away at the stigma surrounding mental health. So during this time of collective crisis, where maybe a lot of people are feeling even more anxiety than they ever did, we are also talking about it more, and that's good, and that's what I'm trying to do with these books, like just get the conversation rolling.
Absolutely, and I think you have. It's safe to say it's done very well, and it's been on the bestsellers list for months and months and months. And I have to say, going back to that, it's funny because I would have always been an anxious person from day one. That's just my setting. But I do notice in friends and really close family members that who wouldn't have been anxious in their 20s and 30s, and now that, you know, they're in their 40s, they are.
They're discovering the wild and woolly world of anxiety.
It's so much fun. It's so much fun. This is something I did years ago when I did CBT, but talking about the problems and actually sorting it out in your mind and how hard it is to go, listen, this is actually a real thing you need to deal with, and this is something that you're fabricating.
As it turns out, my books are based in science. I just don't know that until they come out in the world.
Yeah.
And people say, this is cognitive behavioral therapy.
Yeah, it
is
CBT.
What you're doing. I have this central idea, which is judging things by probability. So when the what ifs are swirling in your head, when you're worried and then freaking out about something, the question to ask is, you know, how likely is this to happen? Mm-hmm. And I have a scale, and one is highly unlikely and five is inevitable.
Okay.
And if you're landing at a one or a two, then that's something you really shouldn't be worrying about now.
Okay.
And the other things, the threes and fours and fives, okay, it's more likely to happen or it's definitely going to happen. You know, it's inevitable. Then the question is, How soon is it going to happen? Do I need to be worrying about this now? Is it an outlying storm? Is it an imminent storm? Or is it total, meaning it's already happened to you?
Right. Okay.
And so the book takes you through these really logical, rational, simple steps of breaking down your worries into questions that are easy to answer. And then, of course, can I control it is the final piece of the puzzle.
And just when you're saying that, I had a phone call from a phone call. This is what I would do. And some parents can identify with this maybe, that from a number I didn't recognize. I'm like, my mind immediately goes, it's the school, she's fallen, she's hurt herself. But then as the phone rings and I finally answer it, I've got myself down to the zero again, kind of going, it probably isn't the school. This probably hasn't happened. And you do have to talk yourself around, but it is practice, isn't it?
Yes. Well, every single time my parents call, I assume that someone has died.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
That's just what, and even though that's rarely the case, but you do just have to have that thought.
Yep.
and let it bounce out.
Wouldn't it be wonderful to be a person that doesn't have that thought, though?
Well, I think there are people. For example, my husband, you know, I'm the kind of person who lays on my lounge chair and looks into a clear blue sky and assumes that a plane is going to fall out of the sky and land on me.
And I start worrying when I start to relax.
Exactly. And my husband says, you know, I have no idea where you get these things. Mm. But even he would admit that in the last couple of years, since I think we all know there was a moment in American politics where the needle just really started dropping a couple years ago, even he has developed this underlying anxiety that I think he attributes to political climate and everything. And so now he's a little bit more understanding of where I'm coming from, because he's like, I see how this could get out of control when you start to think about the worst that might happen.
And not that you want them to go through that, but that understanding is a nice kind of bond to have. My twin would be the same. She never worried. And now since that, as you talked about, political moment in the States. So, but you have left the States,
yes.
You and your husband. Is he American? Is he?
Yes.
And you live where? Now.
We live in the Dominican Republic.
And how different is that?
Oh, it's very different. I mean, I know it's aspirational. I know my life looks really great to some people. Mm. A lot of Calm the F Down is about the challenges that I faced when I made this big uprooting of my life
and the
ways in which I got remarkably uncalm, considering that I was living in a tropical paradise, and how I had to, again, change the way I react to stressors in order to get through it.
I think we might be the same person now.
But you already have a twin. Are we triplets?
Yeah, maybe we're triplets. The ostrich mode. Now, this is something that I think people can identify. Some people do it with everything. I do it with specific things. Like, I avoid specific things. How can we crack out of that?
So the fourth phase of freaking out, avoidance, I also call ostrich mode. And this is something I actually literally do this. I will get completely overwhelmed and I will bend over and stick my head in the couch cushion and put my ass in the air and just kind of pretend like it's not happening. And sometimes my husband sees me do that and he's like, oh, she's ostriching. The point is, you can do that for a little while to clear your head. You can do it as a soothing, you know, down-regulating technique, but it is not going to solve your problem.
No.
It is not going to. And so I talk about the flip sides of the four faces of freaking out, and the flip side to avoidance is action. And what I say is, take one small, minuscule action.
Okay.
You know, write your worries on the mirror in steam after your shower, or purchase a voodoo doll, or, you know, even if you can't go out there and do the thing that you're avoiding, you can acknowledge it and you can take that tiny little bit of action toward getting near it. Or another tip I give is, you can bargain with yourself that you're only allowed to avoid one thing at a time. So if you're avoiding balancing your checkbook and you're avoiding making a doctor's appointment because you're worried about getting bad news or seeing that you have no money in your bank account, pick one. The other one you have to do.
Yeah. I like that a lot. I like that a lot. Sarah, it's absolutely fascinating. And the book is called Calm the F Down. It's out there now. People can get their hands on it. And I appreciate your time so much.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Yes.